When the Second World War began in September 1939, millions of people in Britain imagined that aerial warfare would bring destruction almost immediately. For decades, politicians, military theorists, and journalists had warned that the bomber will always get through, a phrase associated with Stanley Baldwin that captured the fear of a modern war in which cities would be helpless beneath the sky. Memories of Zeppelin raids during the First World War were still present, but aircraft had become faster, heavier, and capable of carrying far larger loads of explosives. British families expected gas attacks, collapsing streets, burning factories, and mass casualties. In anticipation, they received gas masks, learned basic civil defense procedures, and watched officials prepare shelters, evacuation plans, and blackout regulations. Yet the first months of the conflict did not bring the catastrophe many had anticipated. The period became known as the Phony War, a time when Britain was formally at war with Nazi Germany but daily life still retained an uneasy resemblance to peace. That sense of temporary normality ended in the summer of 1940, when the fall of France left Britain exposed and the struggle for control of the skies became central to the survival of the country. The threat was not simply military. Germany's leaders understood that Britain was an industrial nation whose strength depended on factories, ports, railways, dockyards, communications, and a civilian population able to keep working under extreme pressure. If the British could be frightened into demanding peace, or if their war economy could be paralyzed, Adolf Hitler might avoid the risky task of mounting an invasion across the English Channel. The German Air Force, the Luftwaffe, initially concentrated on defeating the Royal Air Force during the Battle of Britain. Airfields, radar stations, aircraft factories, and fighter bases became targets. However, as the air battle continued and Germany failed to destroy British fighter defenses, the conflict expanded into a direct assault on cities. In September 1940, the bombing of London began on a scale that transformed the entire character of civilian life. Britain was no longer a nation supporting a war from behind the front lines. Its homes, streets, schools, hospitals, and workplaces had become part of the battlefield. The first great attacks on London began on September 7, 1940. That afternoon, waves of German bombers crossed the coast and headed toward the capital, accompanied by fighter escorts. For civilians below, the warning sirens announced something far more serious than the scattered raids they had previously experienced. Bombs fell heavily on the docks of the East End, where warehouses, factories, riverside neighborhoods, and vital transport links stood close together. Fires spread quickly through districts crowded with wooden buildings, industrial stores, and narrow streets. The raid continued into the night, and the glow of burning London could be seen from a great distance. Thousands of Londoners were forced into an immediate confrontation with a new reality. The familiar city could be transformed within hours into a landscape of broken glass, smoke, rubble, and terrified crowds. The raid marked the beginning of what would later be remembered as the Blitz, the sustained German bombing campaign against British cities between September 1940 and May 1941. London was the principal target because it was Britain's political capital, commercial center, largest port, and most visible symbol of national endurance. It was also home to millions of people living in very different social conditions. The wealthier districts of central and western London contained government offices, embassies, theaters, shops, and apartments, while the East End included dock workers, laborers, immigrant communities, and families living in densely packed housing. Bombs did not respect class boundaries, but their effects were not experienced equally. People in well-built homes with access to private shelters often had more protection than families living in cramped apartments or streets with poor public facilities. In the East End, where many houses lacked basements and large numbers of people lived near industrial targets, the danger could be especially severe. At the same time, this shared threat created moments of solidarity that crossed social divisions.